Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Orange and Blue Bloods, hosted by EJ Stewart and Tommy Beer. Let's get to it, New York.
But shifting gears here. Julius Randle, he goes under the knife. The All-NBA forward underwent arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle last week, the same ankle that played him through the end of the regular season and postseason. Randle posted a photo to Instagram showing his foot in a cast with the caption, "Road to recovery, just another obstacle." Randle had another tough go-around in his second postseason appearance in New York. He averaged just 16 points, 8 rebounds, and shot 37% from the field in his 10 playoff games. Randle is expected to resume basketball activities later this summer and be a full go for training camp in the fall. Tommy, Julius Randle's postseason disappointment was much talked about. I think remains to be much talked about among Knicks world. Do you feel like Julius Randle having to go through ankle surgery following this playoff run absolves him in any way of his poor performance that we saw in the playoffs?
I think there's both can be true. One, he deserves credit for playing through the injury, and I think a lot of fans kind of jumped on that as kind of their first reaction was, "Wow, he was hurt worse than we suspected." What a warrior! And yes, he deserves credit. Didn't blame the injury, you know, during his post game press conferences, etc. And listen, we've credited Randle all year for the one thing he does is he shows up. Played the first 77 games a year, started every game, led the league in minutes, second in the league in total minutes played the last 3 years behind only Iron Man, Mikal Bridges. The guy shows up to work, takes pride in showing up to work every day. And in today's NBA, that's a rarity. That's uncommon. So Randle deserves credit for that. That being said, a couple things. This poor performance in the postseason wasn't his first. He was equally as bad 2 years ago in his first postseason series against the Hawks. He also had some moments where he looked good. And just as much as the offensive inefficiency was troubling, and you could, you know, maybe couldn't stop, maybe couldn't jump cut. And he's a guy that relies on his physicality. He's an incredible combination of size, strength, brute force. So he's not like he's just a jump shooter. You know, the ankle, you know, obviously played a role in it. But, you know, it's also important to know other guys are dinged up. Jimmy Butler has been playing with a bum ankle. Jalen Brunson almost missed a game because of an ankle issue.
LeBron James had a torn tendon in his foot playing throughout the playoffs.
When you play 90 NBA basketball games, something's going to be hurting on you. You're still playing in April and May. Something's going to be dinged up. That being said, that's going to lead us to the question that also has to be discussed is, should Tibbs have limited his playing time knowing that he clearly wasn't himself? It wasn't just eye test. You could see that the plus minus numbers, etc. The one game that Julius Randle sat out, Obi Toppin started, scored 18 points on 7-11 shooting, grabbed 8 rebounds. So obviously contributed in that way. So I think those are a couple of the issues. And in a weird way, I think the Randle injury is almost like a silver lining for the Knicks if they do decide to trade him, saying like, listen, another team's going to say, listen, he's a great regular season player, but he struggled in the postseason. Leon Rose bounces back and says, hey, yeah, well, maybe, but he was dealing with an ankle injury.
Right, yeah.
Keep that in mind, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I think you laid that out pretty well. For me, I think, and I've given him credit, and I talked about it on the show. I talked about game one. He was a warrior and helped the Knicks win that game in Cleveland. Like, he deserves credit for going out there and being available and trying to be out there for his guys when he when duty called. And the fact that he only missed one game during one playoff game during these various ankle injuries he dealt with shows a level of toughness that I think we all can respect. The problem is some of the issues that you saw from him, whether it be not hustling, lack of focus, these are things that you see from him when he's 100% healthy. So it's hard for me to watch that performance and say he didn't close out on that guy. He didn't make that right read. He ran through that double team. He didn't understand where the help defense was coming from because he had a bad ankle. To me, that doesn't compute. Now, maybe missing some shots, maybe I give him a little more of a break there. You know, maybe him not being able to finish as well around the basket in certain place, maybe I give him a little bit more of a break there. But some of these plays where he's, you know, just seems like he's on another planet mentally, that I can't absolve him for. So it becomes like almost like a maybe a partial absolving situation where maybe I kind of give him a break on some of the shot making not being there the way it was in the regular season. But some of the intangible things that I've seen him have issues with, regardless of whether he's healthy or hurt, still happening. I can't absolve him for that. I can't.
And the perfect illustration was the turnover at half court, and he just throws his arm up.
Yeah.
Doesn't even jog back. You know, maybe he can't sprint, maybe he can't stop short, but at least make an effort instead of, you know, blaming somebody else for your bad turnover and kind of throwing your hands up in the air. That is not an ankle injury. That's right. And again, I think you're perfectly right. The poor field goal percentage could be attributable to the ankle injury, even though he was actually worse field goal percentage against the Hawks.
Yeah, he's like 29% against the Hawks, which was crazy.
The numbers are nasty
this time around.
Yeah. Right. But again, he's the type of player that it tends to bleed onto the other side of the floor. So where does the ankle issue start, and where does the other stuff kind of all, you know, it's all wrapped up into one? But yeah, I that's a good point. Is and I meant to make it as well, as you can forgive some of the stuff, but again, some of it's not effort, some of it's not injury related. It's that body language stuff that irks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I do think you make a good point, too, about Tibbs and the coaching, because we've seen Tibbs do this in the postseason in the past. Like, I don't know if you remember that run the Chicago Bulls had where, you know, I think Rose didn't actually play. And it seemed like everybody on their team was suffering through some serious injury. Like, Luol Deng had to go to, like, the hospital because of something he was dealing with.
That was Nate Robinson was playing like 47 minutes.
Yeah, right? Nate Robinson was being, you know, driven to the pedal to the metal during that series. I think they were playing Brooklyn, I want to say, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, it was like they were like, you know, it was like a morgue. We were seeing that roster, and you know, part of the reason why some of these guys, Luol Deng, was never the same after that series. So I do think there has to be questions asked about how Thibodeau's playing these guys, not necessarily leading up to Randle getting hurt. Like, he stepped on a guy's foot. That happens. I'm not at all talking about that. I'm talking about once you know a guy is injured, how are you managing their time and minutes to get the best out of them? Because not only did we see that with Tibbs in Chicago, we saw that the season prior to this past season with Alec Burks. Alec Burks had played a whole season where, you know, Kemba Walker didn't work out. And for half the season, he was asked to play point guard and was playing, like, superstar minutes. And then after the season, we learned the guy needed foot surgery and he wasn't ready to start the next season. And you're like, how is a guy who isn't even capable of playing point guard being asked to play point guard for that many minutes and he's playing on a bad foot and a foot that needs surgery? Like, how is that? And this is not Julius Randle. This is not a guy who's an all-star caliber player. This is Alec Burks.
With Emmanuel quickly on the bench behind him.
Right. And you have other capable guys, just like the Knicks had another capable power forward in Julius Randle. Like, they needed Randle to play in his game. I'm not saying sit him on the bench, but how many stretches in those games do we see Randle struggle for long stretches? And you know, he's dealing with a bad ankle and he's just, again, riding him till the wheels fall off. Like, some things about this coach just, I can't wrap my head around, but this continues to be an issue with him. He doesn't seem to care about where a guy is from his health standpoint and how, okay, guy's playing and that's great, and now he's available, but perhaps be careful of how you're using him once he's out there. Because Julius Randle, assuming he's on the team next year and assuming he's on the team for the foreseeable future, it seems like the Knicks want to make a commitment. They've already made a commitment to him to be that guy. He's not a guy you're going to need just for that playoff series last year against Miami or against Cleveland. You're going to need him next season, the season after that, potentially the season after that. So there's got to be some thought process behind that. Like, Tibbs is not a guy coaching on a one-year deal. The final year of his four-year deal got picked up into a 50-year deal in his first year in New York. The guy has plenty of time left here on his contract. There's no reason for him to be coaching with this ridiculous urgency in terms of running guys into the ground. It's very odd because then he coaches in other ways like he has no urgency. When it comes to playing guys who are injured or playing guys who are banged up, that he has the most urgency to put guys out there and perhaps put them at risk.
And that's the frustrating thing, is because if it wasn't Randle, if it was, you know, RJ Barrett or IQ or Obi and they were dinged up, would he err on the side of caution and not put those guys in? You know, and that's,
I mean, Quentin Grimes earlier this season, I mean, I was told that we had to start Evan Fournier because, A, we needed shooting, which again was ridiculous to me. Quentin Grimes hit like 7 airy threes in his first start with the Knicks the previous year. But also it was like, well, you know, Quentin Grimes is hurt and we gotta work him back and we gotta be careful. So I had to watch like 20 games of Evan Fournier being an absolute sieve defensively for the Knicks, for them to decide, hey, you know what, maybe we should put, I don't know, the best on-ball defender on the team in the starting line to play next to Jalen Brunson, who we know can't defend. Like, you're right. He picks and chooses his battles with where he prioritizes certain things with this team. And it continues to be a liability for the team, and it continues to be a blind spot for him as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but think that the relationship between he and Randle, his inability to call out Randle when it needs to be done and criticize Randle. You know, we had another perfect example, Mike Malone, game 2 of the NBA Finals, ripped into his guys. You know, and we just haven't seen that with Tibbs and Randle. And that's one of the reasons why you and I, why both of us are cautious of bringing both of these guys back next season, because, you know, it's that issue remains, apparent.
And talking about Michael Malone, what a novel thought. A coach who did not have to watch the film, did not have to watch the game 3 or 4 times to look at that and say, my team didn't have enough effort and focus. There were certain guys that did not have the right focus and energy. When they missed shots, they didn't play defense, and that's why we lost this game. It's a novel thought. I'm told by Tom Thibodeau that you can only talk about the game after the game has been played. And you can't talk about people's effort, because at the end of the day, it's all about a team. That's all I hear every single time Thibodeau speaks. But yet, a guy who, I don't know, is coaching the NBA Finals, I think he's doing pretty well for himself, he's able to watch a game be played and immediately say, this is a problem with this team. But with the Knicks, we're not allowed to do that, because the head coach says you have to wait until you watch the game 2, 3, maybe 4 times for making an observation, which is crazy, because sometimes you play back-to-back. So are you really watching it 4 times before you play the next game? So are you going to the game just having never came up to a conclusion of what happened the previous game? I mean, it's just nonsense, the stuff that Tip says. Lastly, on Randle, any concern about his readiness for next season?
No, it sounds like, you know, Woj made it clear, you know, it wasn't just the Knicks saying that they expect me ready. So yeah, it sounds like he'll be ready for the training camp, let alone the regular season. And, you know, obviously, you know, if one of the reasons he may have had to, again, we don't even know the details of it. Surprise, the Knicks aren't forthcoming. You know, did he tweak it, you know, walking his dog, like something like that could have happened in the 3 weeks since he played. Maybe they were waiting for it to rest and it wasn't rest, you know, so they just wanted to go in and clean it up. What was the extent of the surgery? But from everything we hear, again, if it was the playoffs, he probably could still be playing, let alone not needing surgery. If it was the regular season, he probably could take a week off and then play again, yada, yada, yada. But you have the benefit of you know, 3 months off, so you might as well have, you know, get the surgery cleaned up, etc. So I don't have any concern at the moment. We'll obviously wait until once we get closer. I'm sure we'll see some workout videos that'll assuage our concerns.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.